Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the program, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. We invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. We want to share it with you, the Word of God. It reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so give us a call right now. Don't wait till later in the broadcast when we're out of time. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Day one of the 28-Day Forgiveness Challenge. So excited about this. This is one of those subjects that really can change a person's life. When a person comes to grips with the forgiveness that they have in Christ, everything changes.
Yeah.
Their relationship with God changes. Their relationship with everyone else changes.
Just falls in place.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is the door to life, the key that unlocks the door to experiencing the fullness of God's love and grace. Colossians 2:13, Paul wrote this, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins." That's good news,
yes,
right there.
Is.
On two accounts. First, God made me alive with Christ. And second, He forgave all my sins. Now, that's not a truth that we embrace very well.
Yeah.
We struggle with it. My friend Jim was an example of that. He was 95/5% sure that he was saved and forgiven.
Yeah.
And then there was a point in life where that 5% just kind of took over.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't sure if he was saved or if God had forgiven any of his sins. I was a little bit like that when I was in college. And my prayers were like a broken record. Lord, I did it again. Maybe some of you out there are saying that same thing. Lord, I've done it again. And then I would continue, please forgive me, and I promise I will do better tomorrow. It was exactly the same thing for Jim.
Yeah.
He prayed, he read his Bible, he tried harder, but in all of that, he never felt forgiven. And I guarantee you that there are people that are hearing our voices today that are in the same boat.
Absolutely.
They've done everything that they know to do, but yet they still feel unforgiven,
right,
like God's a million miles away. So with Jim, that 5% of uncertainty started occupying his mind 100% of the time. And he came to a point where he didn't even know that he was saved.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. And that's why we've embarked on this 28-day forgiveness challenge, because we know there are thousands of others just like Jim out there. And we want you to find exactly what Jim did as he started to embrace this forgiveness that Christ brought about through his death on the cross.
Yeah.
So I want you to listen to this verse in Colossians again. And I'm going to personalize it. When I was dead in my sins and in the circumcision of my flesh, God made me alive with Jesus Christ. He forgave me all of my sins.
Good news.
That's how we want you to read that verse. We want you to personalize it and come to grips with the fact that your sins have been forgiven on account of Jesus' name.
Yes, indeed. That's Basic Gospel, friends. Want you to be a part of it. Right now, 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go directly to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. It's good to talk to you again, Bob.
Well, nice to talk with you as well.
I wanted to ask you about the resource for this month. I think you said it was In God's Love.
That's right. Standing in God's Love, yes.
I wondered if that was very much different from Love Is or the New Covenant. I have those books, and I have one on forgiveness.
Well,
I wondered more what it was like.
Well, Dorothy, it specifically deals with this forgiveness issue. So it takes the love of God, and it really applies it to how God dealt with our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I make a statement in this particular CD that the ground at the foot of the cross is saturated with the love of God. That blood that dripped from Jesus' life was a demonstration of God's love for us. And if we're ever going to know what the love of God really is, Dorothy, that's where we're going to have to start, at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where it was demonstrated. And once we get settled in our mind what Jesus accomplished for us there, then that opens the door for us to truly experiencing love in its full measure.
I see. And it's a CD?
It's a CD, yes, ma'am. And okay. We would love to send it to you.
Okay, I'll see. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for your call, Dorothy. God bless you.
Yes, indeed. And Bob, we'll send that to anyone for a gift of any amount this month at Basic Gospel. All you need to do is go to the website, basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator to make your gift and request your copy at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, good afternoon, my Christian brothers. How you guys doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
I should have said my co-workers in Christ.
There you go. I like that.
My Christian brothers. Okay, I have a question. I've been reading Zechariah, and I'm in Zechariah 12, verses 10. And I've been debating this with other people, but I want to be sure that I'm standing on a solid ground with my understanding of this verse. And I'm believing that it's talking about it's mourning for the past one.
Yes.
And I'm believing that this is talking about Christ and his second coming. But I don't want to be wrong. So I just want to get your interpretation on Zechariah 12, verse 10 to 14. If you could just explain that to me.
Well, it is a passage about Jesus, and it's saying that they will look on him, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So I think there's application, you know, as far as his first coming was concerned, and certainly there is a remnant out of the Jewish household that continues to look on him even today. And when they do and see him for who he is, then they respond to him by faith. But I do think you are correct in looking or pushing it forward to his second coming. I think that's when the Jewish nation at large will look upon Jesus and recognize him for who he is.
Right. Thank you so much, because in the verse it talks about it will be great mourning in Jerusalem. And I can look at Jerusalem up until today, and they still throw Christ underfoot in Jerusalem. So that's why I'm thinking more or less, like it would have to be at his second coming when they realize that this was the Messiah. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And God bless you, brothers.
Well, thank you, Eugene. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
We sure do. Plenty of open lines, friends. We want you to call on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. You can really join us if you have something you'd like to discuss, a particular issue in life, a Bible passage you can't quite understand. Good opportunity right now. Plenty of time on the clock. Open lines right now. 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, we're talking about forgiveness. Today is day one of the 28-day forgiveness challenge. We want you to be a part of that. If you have not signed up for our email subscription list, we encourage you to do so. All the information on how to do that is right on our front page at basicgospel.net.
Right.
Sign up for that. We will send this 28-day challenge to you. We'll send it one day at a time. So every day in your email box, you will receive something from us. Today is day one. Tomorrow will be day two. And our hope is at the end of this month, those who have participated with us will know that they know that they know that their sins have been forgiven on account of his name.
Yeah.
As we have learned through our 30-plus years of ministry on radio, forgiveness is one of those issues that where confusion swirls within the body of Christ. What Jesus accomplished for us by grace through his death on the cross goes against our natural way of thinking. For example, we have a lot of family strife when wills are in place.
Yeah.
Families start to fight over who deserves what as far as a will is concerned. Well, and we look at it in terms of who deserves what. This person deserves it because they were closer, or they did this, or they did that. But that's not how a will works. A will is the final desires and wishes of the person who died. That's what he wants. And oftentimes what that person wants goes against the grain of what everybody thinks should happen. Well, that's the way it is with grace. That's the way it is with the gospel. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve a place in God's presence. None of us deserve to be treated gracefully.
Yeah.
We deserve punishment. Why? We're all sinners. That's who we were. But grace changes us, and grace forgives us, and grace does so on God's terms, not ours. And that's what we have to come to. What does God say about forgiveness? And when we come to that, all the confusion disappears.
Yes.
And we can rest confidently in the fact that Jesus shed blood, took away our sins once and for all, removed them from us, sent them away as far as the east is from the west, and then he chooses to remember them no more. That's what forgiveness is. So our hope and prayer for you who are taking this challenge with us is that at the end of the 28 days, you will rest confidently. You will take your stand in the forgiveness that you have in Christ, and you will be able to ward off all the accusations of the accuser. You will be able to navigate through worldly temptations and all those things that the world says for you, says about you, even what your flesh says about you, and stand firm in this love that has been so wonderfully demonstrated to you through the cross of Jesus Christ. So
absolutely.
If you haven't signed up, we encourage you to sign up today. All the information on how to do that is at basicgospel.net. Just click the subscribe to the email list, follow the instructions, and from this day forward, you will be getting these posts from us.
Yes. Don't wait. Do it today, friends. Again, don't wait until the time is all gone on this particular edition. If you have a question, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mike in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mike.
Hello. With my question, without going into too much on who's right or wrong, but more just kind of your take on it, I guess, I was talking with Catholic friends of mine, and they got into the discussion about purgatory and cleansing of sins. And I made the argument that I felt once Jesus came and died that there was no reason for that. And anyway, my question is, they reference a few, I don't remember, I want to say Zechariah 9, but don't quote me on that. And then a few other references throughout Matthew about persevering to the end. I felt it was more like persevering through persecution maybe that you face here on earth or even through the end times as opposed to persevering through purgatory. Anyway, if that makes sense to you.
Well, it does, Mike. I think you're exactly right with those particular passages in Matthew. And in most of those, Jesus was talking specifically to his disciples, and he knew what was ahead for them as far as persecution was concerned. Those disciples, they went through amazing persecution. I mean, they were thrown in jail. All of them were martyred except for the Apostle John, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. To live his final days in isolation. So those disciples had a rough go of it, and those who named the name of Christ all the way up until the destruction of Jerusalem were in harm's way and even following that. So he was giving them some encouragement to hold true to the faith even to the end, because when persecution comes, when somebody puts a sword to your neck and says, renounce Jesus or die, that's a tough decision, and their faith bubbled forth with truth and steadfastness and said, you can kill us, you can throw us in jail, you can do whatever you want to, but our allegiance, our loyalty is to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one whom you crucified, whom God raised back from the dead. So they stood strong with that. Now, as far as purgatory is concerned, Mike, there is no place in the Word of God that speaks to that. It is just not found in the Bible. You die, and after you die, then comes the judgment. So there's no possible way of to continue the cleansing process in this state of purgatory. You've either been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, or you haven't been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, they have been cleansed, they have received forgiveness of sins, they have been declared righteous. That is an eternal decree that will never, ever, ever change. And when we stand before God after death, that will be reconfirmed. The declaration that he made through Jesus will be reconfirmed at that point, and we will be ushered into life everlasting. So, Mike, purgatory is not in the Word of God, and that's what we need to rely upon as far as our standard for truth. And that's one of the big issues there. What's your standard for truth? Is it just the Word of God, or is it the Word of God plus other things? And I think our standard of truth, the Word that has authority in our lives, is what the Word of God has to say.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. Yes, it does, and that's kind of similar to what I said. Like I said, I wasn't trying to call anyone out on their faith or what they were raised to believe. The reference was made to the, I guess Zachary mentions, I think, cleansing by fire, but I don't think they took the full context of the whole passage, just that one little. But anyway, that was just my take on it. So I was just curious about
Yeah, it's a good discussion, and I don't think we need to shy away from conversations where differences in beliefs are concerned. I think we can actually talk about those in a civil way, in a civil manner, in such a way that we're encouraged and stimulated by the conversation. Because I can believe some things, and I can say that they're straight out of the Word of God, but then if I take a deeper look, I find out, well, wait a minute, that's not exactly what the Word of God is saying there. And then I have to ask, well, where did I get that belief? Well, somewhere along the way, and I just latched on to it as if that is exactly what the Word of God had to say. So we all need to be challenged on those sort of things, and our standard for truth has to be the Word of God. So I can have an opinion, but if it doesn't match the Word of God, it's not worth having.
Thank you. I agree. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mike. Hey, thanks for your call. Sure nice to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
God bless.
Well, still time on the clock. We'd like to hear from you, friends. 1-800-677-9377. Bob, a question from Rich, who lives in Columbus, Ohio. A question on the form of prayer. He says, why do most of us pray to Jesus rather than to the Father through Jesus? The obvious answer is that Jesus is God, but the Scripture says indicates how to pray. Can you answer this?
Well, I think a lot of people pray to Jesus just because of the intimate nature of our relationship with him. I know I pray to Jesus, you know, dear Jesus, thank you for this wonderful day. But I also pray, you know, to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And I think there's some biblical merit to that. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus Christ has made the Father known to us. So when we look at Jesus, we see God the Father in flesh. And I think that's an important realization that we need to make, that we have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. His shed blood on the cross opened that door so that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. And so when Jesus talks about eternal life, for example, he says eternal life is knowing God the Father and the one whom he sent. So they're one and the same, but I think there is some merit to praying to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, just to recognize what Jesus said as far as him being the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him.
Right. Another question we get a lot is the reasons that Christians blame God when things don't go as expected. What do you have to say about that? things go wrong and we say,
well, he's the most obvious one to blame.
He's a big target.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly right. And the reason we blame God is because we know he has the power to stop things.
Right.
If he wanted to stop a tornado, if he wanted to stop a hurricane, if he wanted to stop whatever natural disaster that is imminent, he could do so. He could also stop the negative circumstances that come into our lives. He could stop the financial disasters that ebb and flow in this world today. He could stop the wars that are going on. He could do all of those things, but he chooses not to. So that's part of the reason that we blame him. And that's part of the reason we question his love. If you love me, God, you would have stopped this. If you love me, God, you wouldn't have allowed this to happen to me. If you love me, God, you wouldn't have done this or done that. You would have healed this disease, or you would have healed my mom, or whatever it might be.
Right.
And we have to stop that sort of thinking. That's not biblical thinking. God doesn't deal with us on the basis of merit and what we've earned or what we deserve or that sort of thing. He's demonstrated his love for us in a completely different way, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has put into play a plan that can rescue us from this world of darkness and give us a place in his presence eternally. Now, that's worth any momentary suffering that we endure here and now. So we don't need to play the blame game and pin everything on God. A lot of what we deal with and go through in this life is the result of sin. It's a result of our own choices, result of the choices of others. And we just have to recognize that. We do have an enemy. This enemy prowls around. This enemy is doing things to keep us from seeing the love of Jesus Christ that has been so wonderfully demonstrated for us. So I think we have to put blame where it belongs, put it right on Satan's shoulders, sin's shoulders, the world system's shoulders. That's what's causing so much of the problems that we have in this world today. But in the midst of this, God's love stands.
Absolutely.
Nothing can change the fact that Jesus died for you. Nothing can change the fact that Jesus took away your sins. Nothing can change the fact that Jesus was raised back to life so that you could have everlasting life.
Yeah. Friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live to pose your question or your particular situation, we encourage you to drop us an email. We'll be glad to address it first chance we get on the broadcast. And, of course, you can go and find the email link at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Let us hear from you one way or the other. We're on the air live, as I've said so many times, simply because we want you to be able to be a part of the program and pose your question to Bob or Richard or whoever might be with us on that particular day, Andrew Farley. And so that's why we're live on the air. We want you to use the telephone, call in with your situation, get a live answer, and we'll be glad to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm going to go back to a verse in Romans 5:8, one of my favorites. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you want to know what God thinks about you, take a fresh look at the cross. Jesus' work there brings forgiveness and assurance to your hearts. If you're like my friend Jim, who is struggling with doubt, struggling with fear, struggling with shame, if you're 95% sure but 5% unsure, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Let the cross of Jesus Christ solve that for you and bring you to the point where you have 100% assurance that your sins have been dealt with once and for all. That all-important question, will God forgive my sin, is answered in the death of Christ.
Absolutely.
So know this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Christ. He forgave all of your sins.
A-L-L.
That's good news, and that's day one of the 28-day forgiveness challenge.
Hope, friends, you're taking advantage of this wonderful opportunity. Well, if you like what you hear each day on the broadcast, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And this month, of course, for your gift of any amount, as I said earlier, to Basic Gospel, you'll receive Bob Christopher's message and the love of God. The love of God is the most secure place in existence. The journey, of course, begins at the cross. And as Bob said earlier, there the ground is saturated with the love of God. That's what you'll discover in this important message in the love of God. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, visit basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or phone 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us on this edition, everybody. It's good to be with you as always. Now for Bob and Richard and the entire ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.